I like the idea that we've sort of moved past the idea that the preacher and the speaker does not stand above. I like the idea of kind of being down with everybody else, but there is that idea that that the wooden platform, the pulpit, whatever name you want to give it, it is kind of like the uniform. It is the idea of that which you embody. It then becomes more than you, the individual. It is about something that you are a part of. And of course, that is why we are all here today. And why we experience the end of this story that in many ways is really the beginning. Because as hopefully we have experienced, it's not about a wall. It's not about a wall. It's about people. So at the end of the story, after all of the physical restructuring has been completed, all of the gates, all of the different pieces, you know, this thing was like 2.5 miles wide. It was about 40 feet high, about 8 feet thick. It took about 52 days for the physical completion. But it wasn't about that physical structure. And the people knew that. So they came together after it was finished and they celebrated. They celebrated not just the end of this huge project that they had accomplished together, but they were also here to celebrate a feast that was read about during this passage that one of them was known as the Feast of Trumpets. Now, of course, this whole idea of Nehemiah has culminated into what we call for this Sunday, Built to Last. What it is that has been built to last. It is not built arbitrarily. It didn't take just a little bit of elbow grease and a little bit of time. It took many, many days. Now, as I was discussing with the kids at children's time at the early service, this sort of reminded me of the story of the three little pigs. Because it's very similar, right? You got two pigs who, you know, they want to do it cheap and easy. And so they build their house out of straw and out of sticks. We actually talked quite a while about how do you build a house of straw. That was my fault. Because I asked the question, you know, I've always wondered, how do you really build a house just out of straw? I mean, there had to be something else. And that went into a whole conversation. The kids started poking holes in my sermon. And anyway, we finally got to the sticks, because the sticks make a little bit more sense, right? It's still easy, but, you know, at least we've all had Lincoln Logs and Legos. I mean, we know that sticks could maybe make a house. So we had to talk about that for a little bit. Finally, we got to the bricks. Which, of course, the whole idea of the story is, you know, you take the time, you take the effort, you take the work, and you're able to build something that can withstand. And my last question to the kids was, why is it that, you know, they all kind of seem to build their house and finish at the same time, right? Because by the time the two pigs are running to the brick house, I mean, the pig has it all finished. So you kind of assume maybe that, you know, they all finish at the same time. But, of course, the story is you have to take that time. You have to take that effort, and sometimes you feel like though the project is never going to be finished. I mean, how many projects have we had in our own homes where we thought, oh, this will never, ever be done, and we hopefully stick it through, and we finally able to see the joy and the fruit of what it is that has maybe took so much time and effort and challenge and maybe even despair, and we're able to see this thing that has been accomplished. It reminds us that the end is worth it. So it's more than just the physical end to this physical project that Nehemiah and so many others are celebrating. In fact, I would go so far to say they're not really celebrating the building or the creation of any structure. They are celebrating their hearts. And so I kind of want to jump around a little bit. We heard the story in order, but I want to go a little bit out of order today. And so again, one of the celebrations that the Israelite people were celebrating was called the Feast of Trumpets. This was a very traditional event that happened on a regular basis. Ezra is one of the Levite priests, and so he, as the chosen priest, would go out and he would read this huge, huge section about the ancient history of the Israelites. And this was a way to celebrate. This was a way to say, hey, here's who we are. Here's who we've been, what we have experienced, what we have done. And as we see in Nehemiah, all of these people, hundreds, if not thousands of people, gathered together to be a part of this celebration, as they always are. And so they see Ezra standing on this huge platform, this pulpit, and he, you know, opens this big scroll and, you know, it's all over the place. And so he starts to read about, you know, being led out of Egypt and about the whole thing with the golden calf and, you know, all of these stories that we ourselves have heard. And I can picture it. Ezra, at some point, must have sort of looked out at the crowd and just saw that they were incredibly depressed. And they're saying, oh, my gosh, we're so horrible. You know, listen to all these things that we, our ancestors, have done. Listen to all the mistakes that we have made. Listen to all the times that we have failed, all the times that we screwed up. I mean, we are such a horrible people. And Ezra finally stops everything and he says, look, it's okay. This is a time to celebrate. It's a time to rejoice. Yeah, there are mistakes that we have made in our history. There are things that we, our ancestors, have done that were maybe not the best decisions. But remember what happens. God never abandoned us. God continued to be with us over and over again. Those times when God spoke and we ignored, the times that God advised and we didn't listen, the times that God put a path before us and we chose to go a different way or we chose to stay where we were, all those times we messed up. It's okay. God was still with us. And God is with us now, here and now today. So go and rejoice, Ezra says. Eat, celebrate. Remember who you really are. At 9:30 this morning, as I was praying, there was someone in the fellowship center who started talking. And the talk sort of escalated into some shouts. And, of course, all the while I'm trying to concentrate on what I'm saying. But after the prayer was over, I went to the back because this whole kind of group of people stood up and they went outside. So what I found out what was happening was there was an individual in the congregation who suffers from Tourette's, among many other things. And during the service, they started saying things out loud, as people with that condition do. And as I walked outside, this person was just crying and, you know, crying to the person who had brought them through the service and crying to others who had surrounded them and just saying, you know, to their relative over and over again, I'm so sorry, please don't hate me. I know it's all my fault. And we said, it's not your fault. It's okay. You are always welcome here. That part of you does not define who you are. And no one faults you for saying those things. No one faults you for doing them. You are okay to be here anytime you want. And it wasn't just me who said that. In fact, I wasn't the first person to say that. It was people of this church reassuring this person that we hope to see them again. Whenever they feel like coming, whenever these doors are open, they're open to every single person as God creates them, as God has blessed them. Because as the video said, what's the point of having 99 people who feel like everything is fine, there's nothing that needs to be fixed, there's nothing more to learn, there's no more ways to improve? Where's the rejoicing in that compared to someone who feels as though they are not welcome? For someone to go out and say, absolutely, you are welcome. And I will carry you on my shoulders if you cannot carry yourself. That's what Ezra is trying to say to these people who have worked so long and hard to build and rebuild and to have it torn down again and again, saying, you know, don't just remember the bad parts of the story. Remember all of the story. Remember who you are. You are created by God, and therefore you are loved by God, just as you are. Because as we all know, we all feel worthless from time to time. Whether we make mistakes that day or not, sometimes we wake up and we just simply feel worthless, as though no one cares about us, as though we cannot accomplish anything, we cannot do anything. All we do is make mistakes. We are all that lost sheep sometimes. But here and now we gather together to remember that God picks us up and puts us on God's shoulders and takes us where we need to go when we are not able to take ourselves. So hear this, you will never be rejected here for who you are. Now we may disagree, We may not see things totally eye to eye, but neither did Nehemiah and his people. That has nothing to do with our identity. Our core identity are people created by God and thus loved by God. That is why we love each other. That is why we go through those times of hardship and suffering and disagreements and challenges, so that on the other end, we still remember what's really important is that God loves each and every one of us. And so this is what Nehemiah and the people are truly rebuilding. Yes, they're rebuilding a physical structure, but they're rebuilding hearts. They're rebuilding lives. And then they rebuild the covenant once again with God. And again, this all happens at the end. So we see this physical structure, which is all great and good. It's efficient. But really what it's about is a symbol of the rebuilding of the covenant between God and God's people. And so Nehemiah and all of those complicated people whose names are really, really hard, by the way, Erica, good job, because I was standing there like, I can't read all these. But it's everybody. It's not just the folks in this story. It's every single person, because again and again and again, God creates and recreates that covenant, and we continue to screw it up. So God will pick us up on the shoulders and take us back once again and restart, rebuild, and restore. So they go through the covenant saying who they are and, more importantly, who God is, and then remembering how it is that they have made mistakes, how it is that they have failed. But that's the point of God's reckless love. I mean, if we were talking about practical love, that would be a different story. But God's love is not practical. It is reckless. It is reckless in the sense of how can you defy logistics and go after one person when there's 99 to be taken care of? Well, putting it practically, it seems like those 99 feel as though they can take care of themselves. We're a church of lost sheep. And so we're going to take care of each other the way that we have experienced God taking care of us. We don't need a huge wall to show us that. We need the people whose hands are going to be willing to build whatever it is that will bridge people together in faith, hope, love, affirmation, and service. And so that is our opportunity here today to build that bridge once again between us, between each other, and between God's love. Hear these final words from Nehemiah. Here we are, slaves to this day, slaves in the land that you gave to our ancestors to enjoy its fruit and its good gifts. Its rich yield goes to the kings whom you have set over us because of our sins. They have power also over our bodies and over our livestock, and at their pleasure, and we are at great distress. So we know that's not the most positive way to end the story or to end the service, but we also know that there are those times when we feel as though the waves are crashing over us, that people feel as though they're being overpowered, as though they have nowhere to go, no respite, no resource, no refuge. But that place is here. And it's not just a physical structure. It is what exists, what has been built in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, and of course, in our hands. So let us take what has been built. This may look like brokenness, but it is also something that has been built to last. It is the relationship between God and God's people, which includes every single one of us. So let us go in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, and also with our hands, and continue to build those bridges, to continue to find those lost sheep and bring them home. Let them know that they are always welcome here. That is something that can be built to last. So let us go in peace. Amen.